Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, school absenteeism is on the rise across many schools. The latest figures collected by TUSLA show unexplained school absences have quadrupled over the past 3 years. So how should we approach a situation where a child is maybe skipping class or refusing to attend? Well, I'm joined on the line by Kevin Shortall, who is principal of St Aidan's Community School in Talla, and Katrina Rogers, vice president of the Institute of Guidance Counsellors. And you're both very welcome. Kevin, I'll start with you. People missing school, absenteeism for whatever reason, do you see it as an issue in your experience at your school?
Good morning, Claire, and you'll have to forgive me, I have a bit of a cold, so
that's
the,
all
the
right.
Voice is not. But I didn't skip school today myself. I'm
You're
here.
You're in.
I'm in. I didn't get any sympathy at home. The man flute work doesn't work. But
glad to hear it.
No, it is, Claire. Now, I'm not saying it's worse in our school than anywhere else. It's always something that you're mindful of in a school, and you've got to be. But it seems to be something that's becoming a bigger problem for some people. So across the board, there might be a move towards less of a focus on the importance of regular attendance. So that would be across the board. But also I would notice that for some students, a small number of students, chronic non-attendance or school refusal is becoming what I would see as more of a problem and more difficult to address.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that we need to look at in a very, very considered and human way.
So would you say it's more acceptable then not to turn up for a day or two here and there?
There seems to be some, like you would hear anecdotally people saying, oh sure, I was in last week, I was in 3 days last week, rather than, so what you might get away with, or you feel like you get away with in school, you wouldn't get away with in work or maybe perhaps in college. But yes, school is the great forgiver. We've a thing in our school called Every Day Counts, and it's important that everybody knows that it's important to be here every day and to attend all classes. And if there's an issue, if there's a reason why you can't do that, let's look at that.
Mm.
So we're moving all the time towards being where you're supposed to be all the time.
And do you know why has this happened? Like, what's the reason behind it? Do you know?
Yes, that's a very good question, and I would know certain reasons, but I don't think anybody should assume they know every reason, and I think every situation is different. But I think since COVID, especially, number one, there were lots of bad habits that grew through COVID. And, you know, maybe somebody coming into first year in school now had two or three difficult years in primary school, and their level of resilience has changed. Their level of ability to cope with certain situations has changed. So school refusal, a typical case of school refusal, and I'm going to be very generalised here, but a typical case of school refusal, the child might go home and say, nobody's being nice to me, or somebody's jeering me. And it's not that there's a really big problem in school with bullying or something like that, but the child's ability to cope with that stress is... There's less of an ability with some children to be able to cope with it's like schools are messy places, they're noisy, and that's important because we need to learn how to get on with lots of people in a busy environment. But for some students, their ability to cope with that has become diminished over the last couple of years. Maybe it was because they had two and a half years looking at screens a lot more. But social media in general, I think we need to look at that too, Claire. And again, I'm saying these are areas we should look at rather than this is the absolute problem. But social media, an awful lot of young people now and students now, they have a bigger relationship with a screen and a phone than they do with people. So when you go into a school and there's 400 or 500 other people, that's difficult.
Yeah,
that's
well,
hard.
We heard that from the ESRI figures this week about the 13-year-olds who have fewer friends now than they had 10 years ago because a lot of their connections are online. Katrina, can I bring you in here? Because there are two things at play and I think maybe we need to separate them out. There's going on the Mitch, like there's truancy, and then there's that, and Kevin's just described it, absenteeism, school refusal, almost like an inability to face going in today. Do you see them as two distinct things?
I do, of course. Now, good morning, Claire. Thanks very much for having me on the show. And good morning, Kevin. I really would echo Kevin's sentiment and just what you're suggesting here about the difference between truancy and maybe what we might see at guidance counsellors, which would be more emotional-based school avoidance. So with truancy, an awful lot of the time we think of the young person or the teenager, they're doing something fun, they're choosing not to come to school, perhaps they're going off with their friends or they're playing games online. Whereas with emotional-based school avoidance, like, it's a totally different issue and it has very different underlying issues and problems arising from it. So in this situation, the teenager often wants to go to school and they will get themselves ready, they put their uniform on, they get their school bag ready to go, and then perhaps mom or dad is dropping them to the school, and it's only when they get to the school gate that they actually get this really intense and overwhelming feeling. So it's very incapacitating, and all they can think of is, I can't go in there, I can't do it. And their brain then is stuck very much in this fear response of flight or fight, and there's no rationalising with them at that stage. So it's very, very overwhelming and stressful for the young person. And it's also quite overwhelming and stressful for the parents, because perhaps the parent has to get a younger brother or sister to school, and that, like, brother or sister is watching the stress of this and they're feeling it. So it's a really family issue then. So it's something that's very, very challenging for all involved. There are a lot of complex emotions.
And you don't lay all of that at the door of COVID either, the school refusal issue.
No, definitely not. So I do think there has been evidence that school, truancy or school avoidance, whatever we're going to label it, has been on the increase. I definitely don't think COVID has helped. I think COVID has perhaps exacerbated a lot of the issues with school avoidance. Perhaps what you might see now is, like, young people were told it's not safe to go out, you need to stay in, you need to isolate with your family. And that might have impact on their sense of attachment. So perhaps their attachment with mom or dad, and they might feel that they can't regulate their emotions without mom or dad being there. And they might even have a fear that if I'm not with mom, something bad will happen. So their ability to self-regulate has really been eroded, perhaps, by COVID. And I would think it hasn't been helped, but it has been a trend going forward. Mm-hmm. And it perhaps is something to do, as Kevin mentioned, to do with their relationships and screens.
And Kevin, as a school principal then, you've got to know for sure what the reason is why you're not seeing that person in school, because that's going to change how you deal with it, how you address it. Like, if somebody is off in a shopping centre with their friends at a juice bar having the crack, you'll deal with that in a very different way to someone who has an emotional issue with crossing the threshold into the classroom.
Correct, Claire. And, you know, we need to deal with every case in an individual basis. Or, you know, there's this thing we talk about, the continuum of support, the message that we give everybody, the message that we give some, and the work that we do with the few. So, the word truancy, or what we used to call it when we were in school, going on the hop, you know, that's a kind of what you would call an old-fashioned discipline issue. Somebody decides for a full day or a half a day to bunk off and go somewhere else. So that's one issue. But somebody who's feeling that getting into school is difficult, as Katrina said there, you know, you've got to deal with that on a human level. So, for example, in our school motto is make this place your home. So people need to feel safe and feel comfortable and feel like they can speak to somebody and feel like a problem will be solved if it arises. So a school has to be a welcoming and a warm place. So we need to move from that old-fashioned industrial revolution, you know, straight lines and get into trouble if you do something wrong model, to a place where, and I think a lot of our students really do feel that, a place where they feel safe and feel at home, where they'll feel comfortable. And all schools need to move in that direction.
But maybe they
and
feel
that will go a long way towards helping it.
Maybe they feel too at home, Kevin, if they can pick and choose the days they go in. I have a second level teacher here who says on via text message to 51551, I find lots of senior students are treating school like third level, picking and choosing the classes they'll attend. Also, family holidays during school term is hugely on the rise.
Yes. Well, I'm not sure it's because they feel like it's home that they're taking it for granted, but maybe, okay, there's something to be said if they don't understand the implications of being there. They don't feel like there's consequences of not being in school. That's important as well. But I don't think we need to approach certainly emotional-based school problems in a kind of code of behaviour issue. So we suspend someone for a day because they've missed 3 days, or we give them detention. You know, that's not where we need to be at all. We need to understand the cause of the problem and address that on a human level. And people like career guidance and homeschool community liaison and school pastoral care teams can deal with these more acute problems very well. And schools are doing that.
Well, Katrina, that's where you come in. I mean, what can we do about it?
So every single school in Ireland, so like there is a guidance counsellor in every school in Ireland, and every school has an allocation for a guidance counsellor. And perhaps what the senior management team can do to help this issue is to ensure that the full allocation of guidance goes to the guidance counsellor. So in a non-DESH school, if for every 583 students in the school, there are 22 hours for guidance. And in a DESH school, there is for every 249 students, there is the 22 hours of guidance. So for the senior manager or the principal to ring fence perhaps those hours for the guidance counsellor and to ensure that there's sufficient time for the guidance counsellor to meet with the learner or the student on a one-to-one basis.
Yeah, all of those services, Katrina, we know are under pressure now, aren't they?
They're under huge pressure. So what we're finding for the first time ever in the Institute of Guidance Counsellors annual survey was that we had more members supporting learners with mental health and mental wellbeing issues than we did with what we would have traditionally thought as a guidance counsellor with the career issues. So it is something that we're seeing an increase in the numbers being reported. And we'd also see our members perhaps making referrals to external services, and then they're holding the young people and they're offering support while we're waiting for those services to kick in. But just that is a really positive step that can be made. So if the guidance counsellor has time to meet with the student on a one-to-one, we can really do some preventative work and we can stop small issues becoming big issues. Mm-hmm. And then perhaps in some cases the referral won't need to be made.
Tell me about the role of parents in this. The parents will generally always know, won't they, Katrina, that their child is not in school. Like you're always told that, whether it's via an app or an email or a phone call.
I would think in nearly all instances, parents would know quite quickly if their child hasn't landed in school. But perhaps what our members are reporting now is a little bit of a, I suppose it's a difference going forward, because we have an awful lot of learners who are 18. And once the learner turns 18, well, then the parents don't necessarily get a text message saying that your child's not in school.
Oh.
The text message might actually go to the 18-year-old's phone. And that's perhaps why senior cycle, that text message that you received is saying that some senior cycle students are choosing which subjects they're going to attend. And I do think that's something that we're seeing a little bit more of these days, definitely.
All right, Kevin, do you agree with that? You've got 18-year-olds whose parents will never know whether they're in or not.
Well, they can opt. They can opt to have their parents. There's not that many students who will say to you, "I don't want my parents knowing." It happens from time to time. But in response to your previous question, like when I went to school, your parents might or might not know if you went to school or not. Where nowadays, with technology, every parent knows. So when you're working to solve an attendance issue, you're working with the students and the parents.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just working with the, because the parents are well aware of it. And I suppose from time to time, when you find a parent that doesn't understand, believe or share your concern, that's where you've got a real problem.
All right. Well, listen, Kevin, I hope the voice gets a rest now over the course of the rest of the day, despite the fact that you didn't get the day off, and we appreciate you talking to us too.
Thanks for your compassion. I feel I have much more ability to attend for the rest of the day because you've understood me, Claire.
There you go.
Thank you so
there
much.
You go. We're full of compassion. Kevin Shortall and Katrina
Thank
Rogers.
You so
thank you both for joining us on the programme. We'll be back after this quick break.